Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this Sunday, this fourth Sunday in the season of Lent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just to remind you of a couple of announcements, again, the annual tea gathering will be Saturday, April 13th, the women's tea gathering, so please mark that down on your calendar. Hope that will be a wonderful time for a fellowship and also an opportunity to learn about various mission projects. So again, that's going to be on April the 13th at 12:30. Also, we are halfway through the season of Lent. Holy Week will be upon us rather quickly. We are planning on having a Good Friday service, so there'll be more information about that forthcoming. But please keep that in your mind. Please, too, read thoroughly your bulletin as well as our webpage to stay abreast of what is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our Old Testament lesson this morning will come from the book of Numbers. We'll be reading from chapter 21 of Numbers, beginning at verse 4 and reading through verse 9. And it is found on page 134 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, where there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food? Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit any man, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the third chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 14 and ending at verse 21. It is found on page 924 of your Pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is one I'm sure we're all familiar with. It's often called the gospel in a nutshell. It has everything that is important in helping to orient one to the good news that is made available by God, the good news that is made available in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it is indeed a passage that most people are familiar with. We've all seen at least a citation, John 3:16. It's a citation and passage that was made popular here in the United States by Billy Graham and the Billy Graham Crusades several decades ago, at least here in the United States, so that if you said John 3:16, most people were familiar with it. Most people would know what you were talking about. Most people could recite it from memory. Indeed, over the years, this citation has been readily made at football games, at other public events, on bumper stickers, on billboards. People have seen John 3:16 all over the place, which is indeed a good thing. 30-some years ago, when I was in seminary, there was a man in my Greek class who claimed to be the first person ever to unfurl a banner at a football game with the citation John 3:16 on it. I don't know if his claim is true or not, but there can be no doubt about the popularity of this passage. The citation is found everywhere. Whenever I read this passage, I often think of Tim Tebow, who played the quarterback for the Denver Broncos some years ago. He used to have the citation inked on his face, John 3:16. And indeed, in 2012, he played what has come to be called the 3:16 game, where he threw the ball a total of 316 yards in a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not only that, but it was said that he averaged on that game 31.6 yards for completion. There are other statistics, too, associated with the game that also corresponded with the number 316. Again, I don't know how much of it is true or not, but what is true is what John 3:16 says. God loves the world. God is madly in love with this world that God has created. It's important for us to keep this passage in its context. It's part of a larger conversation Jesus was having with a religious leader, Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus the way we all come to Jesus, under the cover of darkness, the darkness of a world mired in sin and death. And even though Nicodemus is a religious leader, a teacher of Israel, there are things he is still grappling with, things he still doesn't quite understand, and so he comes to Jesus seeking answers. And Jesus tells him that he has to be born again. He has to be born from above. He has to be born of the Spirit. But Nicodemus is still perplexed and confused. And so Jesus wants to make sure that Nicodemus, as well as all of us, at least understands the essentials. If we don't understand anything else, Jesus wants us to understand this one thing. He wants us all to understand that God loves the world. God loves the world so much that God gave his only begotten Son. God loves the world. That's important to proclaim, because I often think that we don't believe that. And when I say we, I mean often we Christians. Sometimes I think that we Christians actually believe that God, maybe God hates the world, or maybe God despises the world. Or if God does does indeed love the world. God doesn't love all of it. God only loves a small part of it. Maybe God only loves the part of the world where everyone is a Christian. Or maybe God only loves the part of the world where everyone is an American. Or maybe God only loves the part of the world where all of the lawns are cut and all of the streets are clean. Or maybe God only loves the part of the world where everyone adheres to traditional standards of morality. But no, we are told this morning that God loves the world, the whole world. And God loves all of us, whoever we might be this morning. God loves us. God loves the world. We recognize, of course, that there is a lot about the world that is beautiful. There is a lot about the world that is wonderful, a lot about the world that is indeed lovely. I saw a picture the other day on Facebook. It was a picture of the earth taken from the far out reaches of space, and the world was just this little bitty pale blue dot. You could barely even see it against the backdrop of all the other planetary bodies there in space. And the caption over the pictures was saying that everything that has ever happened, everyone that you have ever known, all the great deeds that has ever been done, all the wars that have ever been fought, all the discoveries, scientific discoveries that have ever been made, it's all been made in that little bitty pale blue dot. So seemingly insignificant against the backdrop of space. And yet we're reminded that God loves that little blue dot. God loves the world. Of course, there's a lot about the world that is quite unlovely as well. I don't have to tell you that. You already know that. And if we're honest with ourselves, and Lent, of course, is the season when we are invited to be honest, there may be a lot about ourselves that is quite unlovely as well. In fact, we spend a great deal of time judging each other and condemning each other, wagging our fingers at each other. I'm guilty of that. I can be very judgmental. I can be quick to condemn, especially against those that I believe are wrong, against those who I might disagree with. We can all be very judgmental. In fact, many people believe that's what Christianity is all about. It's about judging and condemning, because that's what they see us do a lot of, judging and condemning. In fact, many people believe that that's what God is all about. God is constantly judging and condemning. But this morning, Jesus says, no, that's not what God is primarily about. God is not primarily about judging and condemning. God is primarily about love. God loves the world. God loves the world so much that he sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. Sometimes I think we have problems with that as well. We have problems with God saving the world. Some Christians seem very much vested in the notion that God wants to destroy the world, or God wants to throw the world away. Have you ever noticed that? You ever talk to people like that? I talked to someone not long ago who seemed very vested in the notion that God was going to one day destroy this old world. They even seem a little bit disappointed that God actually wants to save the world, not destroy it. Destroying, of course, is what we do. I kind of contributed to our throwaway culture. You know, we live in a culture where we are constantly destroying things. We live in a culture where we are constantly throwing things away. You ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how profligate we are, how much we throw away? We readily throw away all kinds of things. We throw away relationships. We throw away people. We get tired of things and we throw them away. I heard someone the other day say we need to lock them up and throw away the key. We throw away people when they make mistakes. We throw away people when we don't see any value in them. We are quick to throw things away. We live in a throwaway culture and we assume God is that way too. We assume that God's purpose is to throw the world away. But we're reminded this morning that you never throw away that you love. And God loves the world. God doesn't intend to throw the world away, we are told, but God's purpose is to save it, to save this world, this creation that God has made. God, in God's great love for the world, has given the world this most wonderful and gracious gift. It's a gift that none of us could have given ourselves. None of us are capable of gracing ourselves with the thing that we need most vitally. But God has given us this wonderful gift. It's a gift that none of us deserve. We all know what we deserve. We deserve darkness. We deserve condemnation. We deserve judgment. We deserve the brokenness of the world in which we live. We deserve the world that we have made for ourselves, the mess that we have made out of God's good creation. We deserve all of that. But that's not where God leaves any of us. God, in God's great love for us, has given us this wonderful gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the gift of his only Son, his only begotten Son. The true light of the world, who is lifted up for all of us to see. Jesus is the true light that comes into the world, that reveals all things, that illumines all things. He is the true light that has come into the world to judge all things, not in the sense of condemning and punishing, but judging all things in the sense of revealing all truth. In the light of God's love, Jesus reveals all of those deeds that are done in correspondence to God's love for us. All the deeds of love, all the deeds of care, all the deeds that reflect God's own love for us in the world. Jesus reveals all of that. But he also reveals all of those deeds that are a far departure from the ways that God would have us to live. Many, many years ago, when I first moved to Atlanta, I remember living in an apartment complex where the hallway was always dark. Wasn't bad in the daytime, of course, but at night it was quite dark, and one was a little concerned about what one might experience. It wasn't in the best of neighborhoods, but it was always dark. And so one day I had an extra light bulb, so I even got up and replaced the light bulb, and the light was on in the hallway, and problem solved. Only to come back the next night to find that the hallway was dark again. So I figured it was probably just a short, something was wrong with the light, to bring it to the attention of the management. But it was made known that there wasn't anything wrong with the light. It didn't have a short. There wasn't anything at all wrong with the light. What had happened was one of my neighbors had unscrewed the light bulb so that it wouldn't light. And he did that because he was engaged in illicit activities that he didn't want to be seen by the light. And that's true for a good part of the world. There are those who don't want the light of God's love to be revealed in the world. There are those who don't want the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to be made manifest. There are those who don't want to live in the warm glow of the light of God's love. They prefer the deeds of darkness. They prefer the deeds of death. They prefer to live in the ways that bring death. But Jesus says this morning that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And all of those who trust in him. That's the way that passage should actually read instead of believe. For all of those who trust in him, who give their life to him, who follow him, who walk in his light. For all who trust him with their lives, that they will not perish, but that they will have eternal life. So this morning we say thank you. This morning we say thank you to Billy Graham. Say thank you to Tim Tebow. Say thank you for the man in my Greek class. Say thank you for all of you who walk in the light of what God has called us to be, who walk in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And most of all, say thank you to Jesus himself. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing to us, making known to us what we often want to forget, that God loves the world. God loves the whole world. God loves each and every one of you, each and every one of us. God loves the world. Let us pray. Lord, this morning, we thank you for reminding us of your great love for each and every one of us. We might be tempted to forget that. We might hear words of judgment spoken against us, words of condemnation spoken against us, We may even speak those words of judgment to ourselves. Words that would tempt us to believe that you do not love us, that you do not care about us, that your purpose is not to save us. But help us to hear these words this morning. Help us to hear them because they're so important. They're words that we need as we continue our journey as your people. Help us to hear that we are loved, that we are loved despite ourselves, that we are loved because your love is a love that cannot be shut down. Your love is a love that cannot be overcome by anything. It cannot be overcome by our own grief. It cannot be overcome by sickness. It cannot be overcome by things that we might have done. It cannot even be overcome by the power of death itself. Nothing can separate us from the great love that you have for each and every one of us. And so we ask, Lord, that you help to etch inside of our hearts your great love for each and every one of us and your great love for the whole world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.